morning, Christ Church. Happy Easter. Thank you so much for joining us to celebrate the risen King today. We want to invite you into worship to worship our wonderful Lord.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more.
Remain standing with us. I'm going to read some scripture for us for this morning. It comes out of Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. It says this, beginning at verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, Salome, who brought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went out to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from this entrance of the stone of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, and it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, but he has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before them to Galilee. there you will see him just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Friends, he was crucified, but he has risen. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Will you remain standing with us as we continue to worship?
I was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood.
Brought me from the darkness into
to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah stood, and all alone.
Hallelujah. Hey, church, before you take a seat, say hi to three or five people. Say hi to three or five people right now, and right now. Hi, Bubby. Hi, Dick. Amen. Say hi to three or five more people. Say hi, say hi, say hi. Resurrection Sunday, y'all. We should be excited. Kids, kids ministry, our kids, you are dismissed. Our kids, you are dismissed. After you have said hi, go ahead and take a seat. Go ahead and take a seat. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Wow. Happy Resurrection Sunday, church. Hey, man, this is awesome. I am excited to be here with you guys. I'm excited to serve you. For those who may not know, my name is Kevin Hart, and I'm excited to be with you guys on this Sunday service. I left comedy behind, and I deserve to become a... No. My name is Javon. I have been one of the pastors here at Christ Church. I get to serve as the teaching and vision pastor here for our old Brooklyn campus. So, man, I'm pumped up to be with you guys because today is just not another Sunday. Today is a Sunday where a few women looked into the tomb and they realized no one is here. No one is here because he has risen. Amen, church. Man, what a wonderful, wonderful day to serve with you guys. This is your first time hanging out with us. We just want to say we love you. We're thankful that you're here. We're thankful that you're spending your Sunday morning service here with us. And this is your 300th time being here, whatever. But, no matter where you are or how many times you've been here, we're happy to serve with you guys on this very special Sunday. Before I jump into the message, I do have a reading of text for you guys. So we're going to go back to scripture reading. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Go ahead and bring out your Bibles. Remember, God loves people who bring their Bibles to church. Just joking, guys. Relax. If you don't have one, there's a Bible for you under the seat, or it would be on the screen for you. It goes like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Now, I will remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and in which you stand, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, in accordance with the scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Verse 6, then he appears to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Verse 7, then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul pretty much says, I got a past. I had a past. But that past was wiped away by Jesus Christ. Amen? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, so you believe. Let me go ahead and pray. Dear Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for your great love in which you have loved us. And Lord, we love because you first loved. And so, Father, we posture our hearts today and say, thank you. Thank you. And Lord, we look to you, Jesus. We look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith. And we just say, our lives are totally committed to you now. And so, Father, help us to honor you today. Dear Lord, help us to see you for who you truly are. But help us to also walk it out with a new commitment towards you. A greater faithfulness towards you. Because we believe, Lord, that this Sunday is just not another Sunday where we hear a message and we get dressed up and we go out and eat and we have fun and enjoy family. All that is great. But we walk out with a sense of your greatness. We walk out in awe of your majesty. We walk out and we say, this is my Lord and whom I am living for forever. I pray that we can do that more today. I pray that you speak to the person that's their first time ever coming to church. First time ever being here. Pray that you speak to the one who needs a little bit of word of encouragement, which we all could use today. And Lord, I pray that we find our encouragement through the empty tomb. It's in your Son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, good morning one more time. Good morning. Good morning. I'm excited to be with you guys and serving with you. I don't know if you know this about me, but at one time, I had this great idea that maybe God is calling me to be an actor. Did I ever tell you about that before? Y'all just laughing a little bit. Y'all smiling, grinning a little bit too much over there, all right? I haven't even told the story. You're like, we know where this is going. Whatever, okay? I had this great idea that, you know what, maybe I should be an actor, right? And I'll never forget, I was young, just before I met my wife, she got my life together, but I was young, and, you know, I thought, you know, the next move would be to move to L.A. or New York, and I thought the next move would be to watch a bunch of movies. So I remember one day, I stayed up all day watching everything from Scarface. I watched Top Gun. Anybody seen Top Gun? Yeah, Top Gun 2 was good, but Top Gun 1, there's nothing like Top Gun 1. I watched Men in Black. Yes, that was a bad idea. But I watched a bunch of movies because here I am. I'm trying to learn what I need to do so I can look forward to becoming an actor. And I remember one day, you guys don't know this. You guys are laughing a little bit too hard, but you guys don't know this. I one time got a gig, okay? It was a small gig. It was in my bedroom by myself, but I got a small gig, you know. It was me reenacting Denzel in Training Day. King Kong ain't got no, you know, I remember that, right? I was doing that, and I'll never forget, my dad walks in and says, you need to go get a job and stop trying to be like Denzel Washington, okay? Right, and you know, I remember that was the last day that I ever thought that I was going to be an actor, and now here I am, preaching the word of God. So, but isn't it interesting? You know, we're always building our life off what's happening now, right? You ever notice that we're always building our lives off what's happening now, and typically, what we're building our lives on is something we're looking forward to, right? Right. We're building our lives to look forward to a future comfort, right? Right, what we do today, we're trying to build our lives for a future success or happiness or whatever it may be. Right, you got to do the necessary things to accomplish a better future. Right, and there's nothing wrong with that. Please don't hear me preach a message that says stop doing your best today to not have a successful tomorrow, a successful future. But that's typically what our lives usually look like. We're always working today for something, right? But here's what I want to say. Here's what I want to argue. That Easter offers us something better. That Easter teaches us, or that the empty tomb, the resurrection of Christ, teaches us that we don't live for something, but rather you can live from something better, right? That Easter teaches us that it's more than that Christianity is more than an event that just happened. That resurrection is more than an event that just happened, but rather it's a way of life. Does that make sense? That resurrection is more than just something that happened 2,000 years ago, and we look at it and we say, thank you, Jesus, for the blood of that you shed for me, and thank you for rising, thank you for forgiving me and taking on the wrath and forget all of that. And that's great. But rather, Easter is meant for us to look and say that God is offering me a life living from what Christ did more and more. That's what I truly believe. Because if we're not careful, friends, we'll just hear a helpful message, and that's all we hear. And there's not really any action behind it, right? What we'll hear about Jesus, because some of you've been coming to church for years and years, and you've heard the same message and the beautiful message. Not that it's not beautiful, but sometimes it can we can become a little callous towards the wonder-working work of God in our lives, and it happens through Easter. So here's what I want to present to you, and this is what I'm encouraged to tell you, that resurrection is more than just a future reality, but rather it impacts our present reality. Does that make sense? That resurrection is more than Jesus died so I can be with the Father one day. That's great, but that's not completely all Christianity. right? Right, Jesus died and Jesus rose so that I can be reconciled to the Father, so that I can be in close proximity one day in heaven. And if I just hold on long enough and get to heaven, then I'll be okay. No, resurrection is meant to impact your today. Resurrection is meant to give you the joy and the delight that God wants you to have more and more. So today, what I want to do is that to remind you that Easter is the time where God offers you and I a life where we can live from the great work Christ accomplished for you. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't do the things you need to do today to work towards a better tomorrow. But resurrection offers us a life where we live from something greater and better. Does that make sense? That the resurrection is meant to impact our today, not just our tomorrow. So that's what we want to do. We want to look at 1 Corinthians 15, and this is a letter from the Apostle Paul writing to a very jacked up church. I say that because a lot of people get very upset with the church lately. They're disappointed with how the church runs and functions and all of that, and I get it, right? But if you want to know what a jacked up church looks like, open up your Bible, right? You want to know what a dysfunctional church looks like? Open up the Word of God, and you'll see we ain't so bad. I mean, you know, we ain't this bad, right? And he's writing to this church to assure them the power of Christ risen. That the power of Christ risen, and that how resurrection impacts not just our everyday lives, but it also meets our everyday needs, right? In every single way. And he wants to present a great truth to the church that he's writing to. And if you look at verse 1, he says, I want to remind you of what I preached to you, right? He said, I want to remind you of what I preached to you. And what did Paul preach? Well, he's talking about the gospel, right? He's talking about, I preach to you the gospel. Now, the word gospel in the New Testament shows up over 90 times. It's kind of a big deal, right? It's a big deal. It's a big word. It's a heavy word. As a matter of fact, it didn't originate from Christianity. It was actually borrowed or adopted, Christians did, adopted it from the Romans, right? And the word gospel means, you ready to learn Greek today? You want to learn Greek today? Here we go. You want me to teach you Greek? All right, you can go home and tell your friends and family you learned Greek this morning. The word gospel is euangelion. Euangelion. It means the good news. What would happen is a soldier or a messenger will come and give a special news to a group of people, and the news usually went like this: we are victorious. Now catch this. This is pretty cool. He said that usually the gospel, whenever the Romans would deliver a message, they would deliver it to a group of people, and they would say, we won. We are victorious. We're winners. We live in victory now. And Christians adopted this very principle so that it can be a very much of a reality in your life. That in Christ Jesus, through the gospel, the good news, the message, you have victory in Christ. That the message of the gospel is that Christ and what he has done and accomplished, you and I not only have victory, but we live with victory, right? We live from victory. We live from the work that Christ has done, where Christ has paid it all. He has killed the debt that existed between us and God, that Christ has forgiven our sin, that Christ has brought us all together, that you and I walk in victory, right? But a lot of us like to live as victims. We're very good at living as victims, but we're not really good at living as the victory that Christ accomplished for us, right? We're very good at living from the past brokenness and ugliness that has happened to us. Right? And we look more like victims, more like than victors. Does that make sense? So the gospel, what it does, it gives you a new uniform. You put on a new shirt, right? You put on a new uniform. And it's not to ignore or excuse all the damage that has happened to you, because each and every one of us in this room today has had a lot of damage and brokenness that has happened to us, those who are watching online. But here's what the gospel teaches us, that all that's been taken care of. Right? The gospel teaches us, the work, the good news of Jesus Christ teaches us this. My life doesn't have to be dominated from this, but rather dominated from that. That's what the gospel teaches us, right? Again, we're either looking forward to something or we're living from something we shouldn't be living from, right? Right? And Easter presents a better way to live. Right? Easter presents to us a better way to live and to walk and to experience life in its fullest, right? 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 Easter teaches us that from the gospel we can live as children of God, right? John tells us in his gospel that those who received him and who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. That we can live not weighed by the past, not weighed by what happened, but be transformed into what God is going to do. That we can live learning of what it looks like to love one another because we have been loved by a good and holy God. This is the life that Christ is offering to us today. The life that Christ is offering to you today. To live as victors, not victims. To live knowing that everything that has happened has been dealt with. To live knowing that not only that yes, I have a future in Christ, but also Christ is at work in my present today. That Christ is at work in my present today. Now, I want you to notice this. This is really cool. Notice when Paul starts to talk about the gospel, he points it to resurrection, right? Because the heart of Christianity is resurrection. I need you guys to understand that, right? There's really no such thing as calling yourself a Christian apart from resurrection, right? So he's trying to pinpoint, hey, listen, this is the first importance. You need to realize that your faith is grounded on an event, right? That your faith is grounded on an event. And he wants us to get this because I believe this, that if we're not careful, we will create an image of God that doesn't exist. That, right? He says, hey, listen, fundamentally, this is what your relationship with God looks like. Christ died for you. Right? Your relationship with God isn't how warm he makes you feel. How the bubbly feeling he gives you. Right? Or he approves of everything that I want to do. No. The basis, the groundwork is the cross and the empty tomb. Right? Why? Because that's where the power is. That's where the power is. The power isn't in what I experience with God. The power is in the events of the cross and resurrection. That's where the power is, friends. That's where God's working power, the power to give you the strength to live victorious every single day, the power to give you the strength to be the better version for your family, the power to live a new and greater life, which was succeeded by Christ. Why? Because that's where the power is. Now, I love that Paul doesn't just stop there. Paul gives us another encouragement about the gospel. Paul, I don't know if you notice, he mentions a few different guys. Notice that he mentions Cephas. That's Peter, right? That's Peter. He mentions Cephas, Peter. He mentions his James. That's the one who wrote the book of James, which would have been the half-brother of Jesus. And then Paul mentions himself. Now, what do all these guys have in common? I find that interesting. As soon as Jesus rose, he goes and he presents himself alive. And who does he go to? Who does Christ go to? The people that betrayed him. Listen, Peter, you know what Peter did on the night before Jesus was arrested, right? We all know that. You've been in church for a while. How many times did he deny him? Three times. And Jesus goes to him, right? And then he goes to James. We don't have that account of what that moment between him and James. But we do know that James, which would have been the half-brother of Jesus, we do know that in John 7, James rejected Jesus. And he goes to the one who rejected him. And then in Acts chapter 9, we see this amazing moment where the apostle Paul, who was once a Pharisee, y'all know about the Pharisee, right? Those are the haters in the New Testament. Those are the ones nobody wants to be around. Those are the ones that everybody calls out, you know, whenever you're trying to give a critique or challenge, you're calling somebody a Pharisee, right? But the apostle Paul was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew among Hebrews, he says, right? He persecuted the church. He tried to kill God's people. And what does Jesus do? He comes to him, right? Here's, and these three guys are big-time pillars of the church. Peter was a big deal. Paul, as we know, was a big deal. James was bigger than we could ever imagine. Because here's the thing. Resurrection means new beginnings. Resurrection means new beginnings, right? Because a little bit of some of us have been Cephas, where we've rejected Jesus. We've denied him, right? Some of us have been like James, where we don't believe that God could ever do any good in my life. We've kind of been like Paul, been a little self-righteous, trying to elevate ourselves over everyone else. But I'm here to tell you today, Jesus came not to reform you, but to totally transform you. That the gospel resurrection message is for messy people like you and me. Like you and me. Time and time you see in the Gospels, time and time you see in the New Testament, who is Jesus approaching, especially after he has risen? People who have gotten it wrong. And I know this one thing today, church. You and I have gotten it wrong a lot. You and I have gotten it wrong plenty of times. We can make a laundry list. We can make a Bible-filled things. And we don't need a second edition for that. That we have gotten it wrong. But the resurrection shows us that God is a God of new beginnings. And I want to end today by reminding you that there is new beginning available for you today. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. For many of us, it'll be the first time we ever do that. For many of us, we have yet to really see Jesus as the real Lord of our lives, right? Jesus is a great assistant, but he's not Lord. And so today, what I want you to know is that resurrection flips that. For many of you, this will be your 45th time telling Jesus, I need you, right? But guess what? Grace meets you, and grace transforms you. Listen, Jesus doesn't just meet you where you are. He gets you to where you need to be. And this is what resurrection means, friends. Listen, it means to be raised to new life. And that's what he wants to do in your life, to be raised to new life. He went into the grave dead, but he came out alive. And there are some things that need to be dead today. And there are some things that we need that only the resurrection can do to be alive in us. And that's what the offer of resurrection is. Now, I want to say this before I leave, before I close. Resurrection can be a tricky topic kind of to talk about a topic where it leaves us with a lot of doubts or a lot of questions and all of that. And I get that. And we can spend a whole time talking about that one day. But you know what? You know what resurrection also points to? See, Jesus came to deliver us from a life, deliver us to a life we couldn't get on our own. See, Jesus took on the wrath of God, right? The full wrath of God, right? He who knew no sin became sin so that we might be the righteousness of God. He paid the full penalty, right? And in and through that, he defeated sin. He defeated death. But also, and a lot of us don't look at this like this, resurrection doesn't just deliver us from sin, but also delivers you from despair. Here's what I mean by this. Have you not been upset of the world lately? Hasn't the grieving of the brokenness and the evil of this world leave a lot of us questioning a lot of things, right? Now, resurrection, yes, it's meant to deliver us from the sin and the shame of life, but also it delivers us from despair. That one day, the very thing you and I are longing for, everybody's longing for heaven, right? The atheists, the agnostics, everybody's longing for perfection. And we all try to come up with heaven on our own. But friends, we don't know heaven is already established. But heaven is already established. The paradise has already been set and made, right? And what we're truly looking for is to be with God forever. Friends, I want you to know, no matter what you're facing today, no matter what is happening in your life, friends, there is a day where Christ will return, because he rose and he's going to return again. He came for one specific reason the first time, and he's coming for a whole different reason the next time. And that's to deliver us from despair, right? To deliver us from the wickedness we experience and the sin that we experience in our lives. This is the beauty of resurrection. Amen? Let's say a prayer. Dear Father, we love you. We thank you. We ask that you would help us to not just know that Christ rose, but that we would live as Christ has risen. We ask that we wouldn't just be people who have knowledge of what the Bible says, but rather we would have the endurance to live this very truth that since Christ is alive, he's also alive in me. Since Christ has risen, that he calls me to rise with him. So, Father, I pray today that we wouldn't just let another Sunday go by, but rather we would say, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. You are the Lord of my life, and I see you for who you truly are. But, Lord, I don't just acknowledge what you did. I want to live from all that you accomplished, that the power is in what you did. So, Lord, I pray that you do that very thing today, that people would see you as the risen King, and that our hope would be found in you, and our peace would be found in you, and our joy would be found in you. I pray that you radically change us, not because of what we do, because of what you've done. Would you help us? Would you do a good work in us? It's in your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen.
He shall return in robes of white, the blazing sun. Jesus' face.
Christ Church, he has risen. Yes, indeed, he has risen. Love you guys. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your day. God bless.